Lift up your Bibles and say it with me. This is the living word of God that I trust and obey. What it says is true from Genesis to Revelations. Today I will be taught from the word of God. My heart is receptive and my spirit is alive as I learn to submit my will to his. I am forever changed, a child of the living God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Today I want to talk to you about how much we need the joy of the Lord in our hearts and in our lives. And I want us to learn to keep on smiling no matter what comes your way. Keep on smiling no matter what comes your way. We choose to keep our joy or give it up due to circumstances. We choose that. The choice is yours. A smile on your face is a whole lot better than a frown. Do you agree? Scientists have been studying the effects of laughter on human beings and have found that, among other things, that laughter has a profound and institutionous effect on virtually every important organ in the body. Laughter reduces health-sapping tensions and relaxes the tissues as well as exercising the most vital organs. Laughter. Would you think that? You know, and I know that because when I'm at work, that's one of the things that we kind of go over is the point of keeping a smile on your face when you're working with your patients. You know, when you're smiling, it makes them feel more comfortable. When you're frowning, they're going to wonder, what's wrong now? So it's always good to keep a smile on your face. It is said that laughter, even when forced, results in beneficial effect on us both mentally and physically. So the next time you feel nervous, the next time you feel tension, the next time you feel stressed out, indulge in a good laugh. It'll definitely scare the next person. Indulge in a laugh. It'll help. It'll help you. You know, I know that one time Sharon and I have you ever laughed so much your stomach hurts? You know, you get into the laughing mode and you can't stop. We had a church meeting at Trinity Church in Sacramento, and there was an evangelist that came that was teaching on laughter of all things, you know. And in the midst of that, this is a congregation of about 1,100, 1,200 people. And over in one corner, someone started laughing. Then it was a contagious laugh because it went through the whole. Can you imagine 1,200 people in a congregation laughing? And the pastor's a little, what are they laughing about? What am I wearing? You know, what's wrong? No, they didn't. It was just a holy laugh. The Spirit of God came. And you know what? That church needed that. It needed that because the next month they went through a major trial. And this is a big church. It's not a small church. It went through a big trial. But they needed that. Sometimes you just need it. You just need to laugh. You just need to say, Lord, thank you. You know, thank you for the smile you give me. Thank you for the laughter I feel in my spirit. You know, and he takes you, and he lets you laugh. And it's important. You know, Psalms 162, verse 2, it says, then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us. Do you understand that? And let me ask you this question this morning. Has God done great things for you? Now that was really an amen corner. Has God done great things for you? Are you alive? Are you breathing? Are you walking? Are you here today?
Yeah.
God has done great things. You know, in the little things, in the big things. Remember I talked last week on the goodness of God. Whether it be something big or something small, it's the goodness of God that's in your life. And when he gives you something good, whether it be big or small, that's his goodness. And that's him doing great things in your life for you. Praise the Lord. You know, In 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9, and I'm going to talk to you in the Amplified, and it should come up. And it says, without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not even know now see him, you believe in him and exalt and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. At the same time, you receive the result, the outcome, the consummation of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, do you understand what took place in that one little scripture? It was an incredible statement made. These believers had not seen Jesus as Peter did. Yet they were able to love Jesus and rejoice in Christ with indescribable joy. I like that word. Indescribable joy. Joy that was so hard to describe, but it was there. You know, the joy of the Lord is in your heart. It's there. You can't even describe how much joy he has given you. It's indescribable. These are the believers back then. And I believe today it's the same way. Physically, we have not seen Jesus. But when you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, all of a sudden your spiritual eyes are open and now you can see him. Now you can feel him. Now there is incredible joy, indescribable joy that is presented to you because of Jesus. Thank you. I was waiting for that. You know, Jesus, and you got to understand where they were during this time. Were they in a glorious big church? Were they so excited and everything was going great and the area they were living in was doing great? No. There was great tribulation taking place in their lives. They were not where they were at one time. They were scattered abroad throughout the countryside. They were scattered because of their faith in Jesus. They were put to death because of their faith in Jesus. Persecution was so strong because of their faith in Jesus. But they did not falter from their faith. They had indescribable joy. And no matter what came their way, it was going to take their joy away. Woo! The very first thing I want to bring to your attention is how could they have such an indescribable joy? 1 Peter 1, 3 in the Amplified says, praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Two things take place in that scripture that gives them an indescribable joy. Number one, they were born again. Number one, they received the Lord as their personal Savior. They had a relationship. You know, I despise that word religion. Because religion doesn't mean nothing. If you look at society today, people claim to be religious, a religion. They claim to know this. We claim to be a Christian nation. What a facade. The only thing that changes is when you accept the Lord, you're not accepting religion. You're accepting a relationship with a heavenly Father that deserves everything. He died for you. He rose for you. He's on the right hand of God for you. He loves you that much that all he asks is that you give your heart to him. That's so simple yet so hard. We people, human beings, make born-again experience to be such a difficult thing. And the reason why is we don't want to give up our will. Well, just think about your will and where you're living and what you've gone through. Come on! Do you really want it? I'd say give my will to God. Let him have control of it. Let him take care of it, because you've made a mess of it. Hey, I'm not speaking about you as this pastor. I made a mess of my life before I knew the Lord. I gave my heart to the Lord, and my mess was still there, but now he's in control of my mess. And I'd much rather have him be in control of my mess than me. Hallelujah. So the very first thing to receive that indescribable joy is to have a born-again experience with the Lord and live for God and let him take control. But there's a second part of that. It's called having a living hope. This lively hope was the hope of living again. This life is not all there is. There is a real place out there called heaven. Amen? And I know someday I'm going there. Amen? I know I'm going there. And if you have that relationship with the Lord, if you are truly born again, and you know the Lord is your personal Savior, guess what? You're going there. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm going to heaven. See, we want to. We have a home beyond this life. You have to understand in the scripture it says that we are pilgrims in a strange land. Where you are at today is a strange land. You are temporarily here, but your eternal life is with God. Hallelujah. We have an eternal life. We have a finite being, which is this body. This body will die and go back to the dirt that it was formed. But our spiritual soul, our spiritual body, has an eternal being that will live forever and ever and ever. That is so hard to comprehend. And why is it so hard to comprehend? Because of our finite brain. We can only think of here and now. We can only think of the 50, the 60, the 70 years, that, or 80 or 90 years or 100 years that we live here on this earth. We cannot comprehend eternity. Infinite. See, to the Lord, a day is 1,000 years, another year is, and 1,000 years is a day. Time is irrelevant to God. And when we walk and we close our eyes to this world and we open our eyes to heaven, I can just look at it and I can say, oh my goodness, as you take that first step on the streets of gold and you're walking down the streets of gold and there are the pearly gates, pearl gates. And the pearl gates open to you. And you walk down the pearly, the golden streets, the pearl gates are open, and all of a sudden, you see your loved ones that you've been waiting for. You see Jesus. You see the patriarchs of old that you've read about so much. And you have an eternity time to be able to talk with them, converse with them, praise God with them. That's just a glimpse of eternity. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, have we allowed Jesus to introduce his joy to you and I? Jesus said that we can have his joy. We can have his joy. John 15:11 says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be half full. Half full? Anybody want half full joy? Anybody want some temporary joy? No. He's saying that his joy will be in you and that your joy will become 100% joy in the Lord. Do you understand that? Jesus prayed that our joy might continue fulfilling itself until it becomes the same joy as his. Living a full and overflowing life does not rest in bodily health, in circumstances, or even seeing God's work succeed, but in the perfect understanding of God and in the same fellowship and oneness with him that Jesus himself enjoyed and is enjoying today. You understand? That's the fullness of joy. That's the joy that God and Jesus can give to you. Hallelujah. And I ask, have you ever asked or have felt his joy and asked for his joy to come into you? That's a question. Now, let's go on. Joy is the opposite of happiness. And I think that's a confusion point because a lot of people put happiness as joy. But there is a difference between the two, and I'd like to take you to understand. So let's first of all take happiness. What is happiness? Happiness is a temporary, pleasurable, or satisfying experience in response to a circumstance that dissolves when the circumstances that caused happiness ends. It is the reaction to an action, whereas joy is an action derived from God. Do you understand that? It's totally different. Happiness is totally different than joy. So what is joy? Okay? Joy is the result of recognizing that God is good even in the midst of a trial. Joy allows us to say in the times of trouble, I have and still have joy. After everything has been, that everything that you have been through, everything you go through, you still have joy. See, happiness is temporal. Joy is everlasting. Do you understand that? Okay. Joy sustains us during difficulties because we realize that though happiness may be fleeting, the joy of the Lord is, I'm going to say that again. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We have to realize that. Happiness is for a moment. Joy is forever if we accept it. Woo! And since God is the giver of it, nothing can take it away. Joy comes because of our relationship with Jesus. So that when the winds blow and the breakers dash, we know our soul is anchored fast and we can shout, oh, I still have joy. And I will guarantee you there's going to be some windstorms. I'm going to guarantee you there's going to be slashing of wind up against you. And it's how you react to that makes all the difference in the world. And you can say, as I say, when you go through those, you will go through them. But when you go through them, count it all joy. Because guess what? You still have the Lord. You might go through them. You still have the Lord. You might suffer things. You still have the Lord. And you can say, as I can say, oh, I still have joy. And that's what God wants to hear from you. No matter what you go through, you still have. You still have. You still have the joy. Don't lose your joy because of circumstances. There will always be something that can sour your day and rob you of your joy. We must always be on our guard that we don't get robbed of our joy because of life's happenings or circumstances. People, relationships turning sour, the future, or even the past. These are things that can turn your joy and make it sour. If we are going to live in victory, how many want to live in victory? Boy, that was weak. How many want to live in victory? Yes! If you want to live in victory, then we have to have the right attitude. There is a saying that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% on how you react. Some people get so frustrated because they try to control the 10%. They're not going to be happy unless everything goes their way. And that is the wrong attitude. You cannot control what happens and what others say to you or do to you. But you can control your response and your attitude. When we get up in the morning, we need to decide that no matter what comes our way, we are not going to get upset. No matter what someone says, no matter how many cars cut you off on your way to work, no matter what tries to disrupt your day, you will not get upset and lose your joy. The key is to decide ahead of time you are going to maintain your joy. This is the day that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice
and be glad in it. This is the day. He has created it. He has made it. And He's made it especially for you. So this is the day He's made for you. We need to be glad in it, rejoice in it, and just enjoy it. Woo! Jesus tells us in John 16:22, that no one can take away your joy. Jesus is saying that. Trials might come, problems might come, hurricanes might come, but Jesus is telling you, and if he's telling you, that means something. You know, that means something. The master is telling you, no one can take away your joy. Tell someone else that. You know, you can't take away my joy. No one can take away your joy. We need to learn to abide or rest in Jesus and be obedient to his word. See, Paul affirmed the source of Christian joy when he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through. My goodness, if you went through what I went through, you wouldn't be rejoicing. Well, I don't want to go what you were going through. I got my own troubles. I got my own concerns. I got my own problems. But I know if I will learn to rejoice in the Lord no matter what I go through, the problems that I'm going through will be from a mountain to a molehill. Things that you're going through, circumstances that you're going through, will be nothing. Nothing. Understand, they're nothing to God. They might mean everything to you, but they're nothing to God because he has everything under control. Okay? He's in control of your life. Realize that. He's in control. Our rejoicing is in him. And in him lies our joy. And you have to realize that joy involves a choice, a positive attitude. We choose to have joy or have frustrations. To experience his abundant, overflowing joy involves a choice. No circumstance can force you to get upset. Nothing can take away your joy. You have to give it away. Do you understand? You are in complete control of your happiness. When someone is rude to you, what they are really saying is, give me your joy. Someone cuts you off on the freeway, give me your joy. Someone takes a parking place you were waiting for. You were in line, it was there, and all of a sudden that car went out and the other car went in. Give me your joy. You have a choice. Give your joy to them or not. You can go around upset, frustrated, offended. Look what they did to me. Or make a better choice and say, no thanks. I need my joy. I need my joy. Chuck Swindoll says it this way, that joy is a positive attitude we choose to express. It is a matter of attitude that stems from our confidence in God, the belief that he is at work and that he is in full control, that he is in the midst of whatever has happened, is happening, or will happen. Do you understand that? Real joy is not a reaction to exterior transactions. Because we have been redeemed, we can enjoy the fullness of God. And that is the action of joy. It is joy that always allows us to say, when we lose our loved one or experience heartache or pain, that the sorrow is coming, is going to endure for the night. But joy is coming. Joy is coming. We could be knocked down, but our joy will keep us from being destroyed. Do you understand that? We can be knocked down, but our joy says we'll be okay. Yes, things make us happy. Good grades, good children, good food. Good food. How many are getting a little hungry? Good food. All these things can cause that elated feeling of temporary satisfaction and gladness. Actions have to transpire for happiness to be obtained. But just as quickly as we receive happiness, we can lose happiness. But joy, listening to me, joy will sustain us when our happiness is revoked by a harsh word or deed. I still have joy. Joy will keep us when happiness is removed by circumstances and situations. Joy will maintain us when happiness is dissolved by acts of friends or family. Joy will contain us when happiness is replaced with weeping due to the loss and pain. Joy will fortify us when happiness is eradicated. Do you understand that? Joy is what changes hopelessness to a hope-filled life. Joy is what changes sadness to praise. Joy is what changes giving up to looking up. I still have joy. That's God. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't look at what you are going through. Instead, celebrate the one who is taking you through, so that you can obtain what he has just for you. He has joy for you. If you will decide every morning before you start your day that you are not going to give away your joy, then I guarantee that your joy will remain in you all day. That's a guarantee from God. No matter how bad things get, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let me say that again. No matter how bad things get, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Say it with me. The joy of the Lord is my. Possess it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But Pastor, I'm going through a problem. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Physically, I have cancer. I have this ailment. The joy of the Lord is my strength. My finances are gone, Pastor. I don't have any money. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Spiritually, I'm struggling. Don't you understand, Pastor? I'm struggling spiritually. I don't understand. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you will abide in Him, the Bible says, He will abide in you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope you've gotten something from this, because I know that I have. The joy of the Lord is our strength. No matter what we go through, it's indescribable joy that God presents and gives to you. Indescribable. You can't even describe that joy that He has for you. And I say sometimes, when you get so down and out and you can't... Let me give you a story. One day, Sharon was having a great day. I wasn't. Oh, yes, I am. Everything. She was having a great day. A great day. I guess she was having a joyful day in the Lord. And I had been struggling with a lot of different complaints, a lot of different things. And I walk home and I wanted to give her a piece of my mind. You can tell I didn't have the joy. So I walk up, and she's so happy and everything, and I said, and I want to tell you about, I didn't want to say that, dear, but I want to tell you about him. You know, he works for me. I owned a business, and he was one of my sanders and detailers for a body shop, and I just wanted someone to vent to. Well, she didn't want to be vented on. She had a glass of water.
No, I was going to make some tea.
It wasn't hot, though. She had a glass of water. And she figured that if I pour this water on him, he'll cool off.
No, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why he wasn't going to sap my joy.
And I'm not telling you guys to go that route. But it did cool me down.
No, his face got
red. I had to go outside and really get the joy of the Lord again. But I did realize... I shouldn't be doing that. What it was doing is I'd already lost my joy, and I was taking the joy away from everyone around me. Sometimes, and I still say this, sometimes we do. husbands, sometimes the joy is not there at times. I'm not going
to
tell you
it's always there. I still had a smile. I don't know. I took that. He came, sat down at the kitchen thing there, and I had it there. Like that.
She had the joy of the Lord. And she was just going to give me some of that joy in the length of water. But it did make me think. And it did turn it around. I won't tell you I truly had joy after that. But
whoa.
But she did make me think, why sap someone else's joy when I'm frustrated? And you know what? I can give up my joy or I can keep my joy. That's the same with you. You have the ability to choose. Remember, I've said this over and over again to all of you, that you are the sum total of the choices you make, good or bad. You know, and if you make good choices, then the joy of the Lord will stay with you. If you make bad choices, the joy of the Lord's there still. You just got to revert your attitude over to receiving His joy, even when you're going through struggles, even when things just aren't going right, even when the day is the worst day of your life. God can take the worst day and turn it into the best day. You know, and I could take you through another biblical scripture. Let me give you this real quick. David and his army had been out battling the Amalekites, okay? In the midst of this, he came back to his home, and his homeland, his city, was burned to the ground. And all of his relatives, all of his people, were taken captive. Him and 600 soldiers wept until there was no tears left over what had taken place. But David decided, I'm not going to let this be the sapping of my joy. He went out, he defeated the enemy, got all of his family back, all of his relatives back, the army got all of it back, and what turned out to be, he thought, the worst day of his life, turned out to be the best day of his life. Do you understand? You know, you follow that? No matter what we're going through, God has a way to turn it around. He can turn anything around if you let Him. You got to let Him. Sing that song, Sharon. Close your eyes and just let the Holy Spirit now. Let the Holy Spirit move.
Jesus, there's just something about that name.
Meditating on the Lord, I ask you this question. How is your joy today? If you just need a little more joy in your life, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, Lord, I need your joy. Come on, let the Lord see. You need His joy. As hands flow out throughout the audience, I want you just to give the devil a black eye and say, I still have my joy. in the name of Jesus. Take that joy today. And every morning when you wake up, you commit it to God and say, I will have joy. Circumstances might come my way, but I will have joy. People might treat me wrong, but I will have your joy. And I know without a doubt that if you will commit to that, that God will commit to you. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. That's what he wants to be, your strength. Lift your hands and now thank him. Thank him in advance, because joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. And his joy is your joy. Your joy is his joy. Jesus has given you his joy. Take it every day. I mean, I will say this to you right now. If you will commit to that joy in the Lord, and you give it a try this week, every morning you wake up and you give him that joy. Say, I will keep my joy in you, Lord.
I'm going to keep my joy.
I will guarantee you,
hallelujah,
things will come your way. I will guarantee you, circumstances that aren't good will probably come your way. Because that's the devil wanting to test your joy. Test your joy. And just like it said, you have the choice to make to give your joy to that devil or keep it. And I say, devil, you're not going to get my joy. Not today or not ever. I'm going to maintain my joy in the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. If I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to praise you. The joy of the Lord will be with me all day. Say that. And the joy of the Lord will be with you all week. Every day you wake up, every problem you come into, if you maintain the joy of the Lord, he'll make the day go by better. He'll make the hours go by better. He'll make the week go by better. He'll bring someone your way. And they'll say, what have you got? Well, I've got the joy of the Lord. And it gives an open door for you to witness to them. Because I guarantee you, in the world we live in, there is no joy. There's happiness. There's temporary happiness. But there is no eternal joy that only Jesus has. Stand with me right now.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord
is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord
is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord
is my strength.
Roy, would you close us in prayer this morning?